chapter 1, 13 through 16. And I'll just read it, and then we'll take it apart in a minute. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. But the title, as I said, is called Preparing. Jesus used that word in John 14, 1. Let your hearts not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, so that where I am, you may be. Now, the first time Jesus came, John the Baptist was filled with the Spirit of God to prepare the people for his first return. In Mark 1, verse 2 and 3, it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who shall prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. The Lord always prepares his people for what he's doing. He prepared the people 2,000 years ago through John the Baptist to prepare them for Jesus coming the first time. I believe the Spirit of God is preparing us for his second return. So I want you to hear what I believe the Lord has showed me to share with you today. We know that Amos, he was a sheep herder, but God called him to prophesy against Israel that judgment was coming unless they repented. And the famous quote is, prepare to meet your God if they didn't repent. Prepare to meet your God. I remember Richie Burley, he had on his van, prepare to meet God, if you remember Richie Burley. And the word that I want you to think about is prepare. Prepare. Revelation 19:7, let us be glad and rejoice, and we will give the glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has prepared herself. Prepare yourself. Prepare to meet the Lord. One day you're going to, whether he comes to judge this world and he takes us out or however, but be prepared. That's the word for today for the church. 1 Peter in 1 verse 13, I want to take that apart a little bit. Therefore, prepare, and in the King James, you may read, it says, gird your loins, and that's what it means. And what would happen was they wouldn't wear pants like we got pants. They had robes, the men. And to prepare or to gird their loins was for action, to walk fast or to run. So they would pull up their robes and tie it around their waist, gird their loins, so that they had freedom in their walking with their knees and running with their legs. So when it says there, therefore prepare, he's saying gird up your mind for action and keep sober in spirit and fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's his second coming. Now, it begins with grace. Fix your hope on the grace of Jesus Christ, which is going to be revealed at his coming, but it's revealed at his salvation for you. It's revealed throughout your lifetime, and it's revealed at the end, because it's only God's grace that's going to get us to heaven. Ephesians 2:7 tells us that his grace is going to be continuous even in eternity. It says this in Ephesians 2:7, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So throughout the ages of time, whatever he has installed for us for eternity, his grace is going to be upon us as trophies. We're going to continue to receive his goodness, his grace, And I'm all for that. But how can I fix my mind on his grace? 1 John 3:2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him, because we will see him just as he is. And here it is. Everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Remember the text, be ye holy, for I am holy. The bride has made herself ready. He's working on us and through us to conform us to his image in holiness. And so there's a part that we need to understand, that there is something out there in the world that's trying to keep you from his holiness. Holiness just simply means to be set apart, sacred for him. Hebrews 12:1, lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here it is again, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Fixing our eyes on him until that grace of his revelation of his second coming takes us home. But notice it also says in verse 14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to your former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. Ignorance. You see, we have no excuse now. My former lust of the conviction of the Spirit, the love of God, we were ignorant. We might have had a little taste of heaven and knowing right and wrong, but you have a lot more light now. And by that light, we get judged. Not for our salvation, but for our works. Now, he says, as obedient children. You know, obedience comes through suffering. Obedience can also come from your will. Both come from your will, whether it's in suffering or it's in abundance. Hebrews 5:8 talks about Jesus. Listen to this. Although he was a son, he learned obedience. How? From the things which he suffered. How did he learn obedience from the things he suffered? He had a free will. He was hungry for those 40 days. He could have said no, you know, but he said, I'm going to live by the word of God. He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, knowing that this cup that he was about to drink, he asked the Father to pass if it was his will. So he was learning to be obedient to the will of God. Even in that suffering, it says he had drops like blood. It was agony. But he learned obedience. Obedience is something you learn through suffering. And then it goes on to say this in verse 9, and having been made perfect. Well, wasn't Jesus perfect all the time? You mean he was imperfect? No, that's not what that word means. Let me explain. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. That word perfect means to consummate or to be completed. Having been made complete, he is now able to be the Savior. The same word is used for Abraham. You see, his faith was working with his works, and as a result, the works and the faith were, his faith was perfected. Remember, it tells us that Christ was perfected. He was complete. Jesus could have said, yeah, I'm the Savior, I'm God, I'm doing it all. And then when he come to the cross, he could have said no. So now his faith was incomplete, but he became perfect to be the salvation of our souls because of his works. Abraham, his faith saved him, but it said faith without works is dead. It was his works that completed his faith. And if we're not following in our character of becoming more like Christ in holiness, then our works are incomplete. Do you follow what I'm saying? So he wants us to be holy like he is holy, and that comes through obedience, which costs you something. You're going to suffer when you follow God's will. It's going to be painful. But blessed be the name of the Lord. That's the only time you'll feel the realness of God in your life, is if you're obedient. You cannot, I cannot follow God in the power of His Spirit without obedience. And obedience will qualify you for a position that He might have for you. Without obedience, your faith is incomplete and you will not be qualified. I mean, I could tell you more about that, but I'm not. However, there's also obedience in the things of abundance. Paul spoke in Philippians 4:11 through 13. He said, I don't speak from want, and here it is, for I learned. Jesus learned obedience through the things he suffered. Paul is saying here, I learned to be content in whatever circumstance I'm in. I know how to get along in humble means, suffering, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having an abundance and suffering need. I can do all things, this is it, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. He learned to depend on Jesus Christ. In His suffering, he learned to follow the will of God, and in the abundance, which many people fail. Many times it's easy to follow him in the suffering than it is in the abundance. Many people I have known who had suffered, and then once they got over that hump, it was, bye-bye, God. You see, it's an act of your will. It's not your emotions. Jesus talked about the seed that grew up quickly, joyful, but it had no root, and it withered when the trials and the testings came. You can't follow God consistently, hear me, without your will to choose. Not your feelings, not your emotions, not your intellect, not because it all makes sense, but because of your free will, you choose obedience. Can I get an amen? Obedience is a choice. You'll always be rewarded, but it's never going to be real. Your faith will never be complete without obedience. And you'll suffer for your obedience, but God will bless you. You'll suffer for your obedience in abundance. You'll say, no, I'm going to put Jesus first, even though I have this great summer home, and I got my kids going into recreation on Sunday. God has just opened up doors. Oh, really? So you mean God is condoning you now to put him on the back burner? Because he's blessed you with a wife, a husband, or a new car, or whatever it may be. No, he hasn't. Maybe he's blessed you, but he hasn't blessed you to condone your faith to be incomplete with obedience to put him first. Amen? That's the truth. So we see that Jesus learned. It's a process. It's not like you one day wake up and saying, hey, I'm obedient in all matters. You go from testing to testing. Will you follow him now? And when you're a young Christian, you know, he's not going to put such a weight on you that it's going to be like, oh, man, I can't choose. He'll always give you the grace. I've learned to be content to follow Jesus in all things, whether I have a little bit or I have a lot. He is my supplier. So Jesus learned obedience in the things he suffered. His faith in Christ, his faith in God to do his will was made perfect, which made him eligible to be a savior. And so it is for us if you want to do ministry or if you just want to be faithful to the Lord. Verse 15 and 16. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. All your behavior. So you look into your heart, you look into your mind, you say, what is my behavior? Well, you know, I've been using the Lord's name in vain quite often lately. Or I've been looking at men a little bit more than I should, or women a little bit more than I should. You know, what is your behavior? What is it like? Can people say, wow, I see the light of Christ in him, or do they see something else? Holiness, again, is separation. You're different. You belong to Christ. You're sacred in God's eyes. You're a saint in God's eyes. I entitled this part here, Signs of Judgment. In Proverbs 22:3, It says, the prudent sees the evil and he hides himself. He's preparing. But the naive go on and they're punished for it. God gives us signs to prepare us. The prudent, the spiritual minded, is going to see some of the signs that are happening now that God is giving us and preparing us before his return. Are you ready? He's preparing his church. The Spirit of God is speaking in many different churches that he's coming soon. That judgment is coming on this world soon. But are you ready? Are you prepared? Because he's exhorting us all, even in this church now, get ready. Isaiah 5:20 tells me this. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Do you see that now? You see that in the world? Woe to those who call evil good. Yeah, I was just in California a little while ago, and, you know, marijuana, weed, is legal. I said to my brother-in-law, I said, where are these shops that are legal? He said, well, you just go down here over there. So I took a ride down there. I didn't have no money. No. I took, God forbid. I wanted to see how real this is. And there it is. You know, you have the Red Cross, right? You have a Red Cross. You know what the sign is of the Red Cross, right? It's supposed to bring healing and help. Well, they got a green cross on these two buildings that I saw, maybe a couple hundred yards away from each other. All green. It had this green cross. And I said, wow, this is it. And we have it, was a sign. Another sign said something about having marijuana or whatever, CBD, whatever you call that stuff. And it's there. And they're trying to legalize it here. At one time, it used to be called evil, wrong. Now it's become called good. No, it's recreational. At one time, the sins that we see in behavior of this nation, of this world, at one time was called evil. But now it's called good, and it's legalized. Connect the dots. Woe to those who call bittersweet and call being a Christian or following the moral laws of God or believing in God is wrong. That's a sign of judgment to come. We'll go a little further. Because here's where we are today. Prepare yourself. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith. That could be you. Let me ask you something. Or let me mention something. Falling away does not come overnight. Drifting comes a little at a time until you come to a place of no return. Now, where that line is, I don't know, and I don't want to know. I don't want to get close at all. I don't want to tempt God. If I see evil in me, I got to recognize who I am in my behavior and say, this is not godly. And Jesus and God said, be ye godly like I am. Be ye holy like I am. Prepare yourself because the bride has made herself ready. And he's sending out his Spirit to the churches. I'm coming. Recognize it. But then there's others who are deceived. Because it says this, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits, doctrines of demons. So you get pulpits that are preaching it's okay, A, B, C, A to Z, it's okay to live like that. You believe in Jesus, that's good enough. No, it's not. I'm sorry. Faith without works and having a form of godliness in the last days is not having godliness. It's having an outward ritual of godliness, but your heart is not willing to be sanctified. Be careful, church. People will fall away. You are not beyond reach, but make sure you're aware of what's going on because Christ is coming back. 2 Timothy Chapter 4, verse 3 says the same thing. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear this about sin. They don't want to hear about being separate. They don't want to hear about having a holy behavior or godly behavior. The time will come, and that's the time now, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. Well, I don't want to hear that Jesus coming back soon. I got a blessed life right now. You know, let him come and judge, but I'm not going to think about those things. They're too painful. I'm not going to think about judgment coming on the world, or even for me. It's too painful. I would rather just, you know, have the happy songs, have the happy preaching. I want to get my ears tickled. So I'm going to move to somewhere else where my ears can get tickled. And that's one of the signs of the last days, brothers and sisters. Be aware. Jesus said this, and this is so important. Write this down. Luke 11:35. Therefore, take heed that the light in you is not darkness. Make sure you're walking in the light as he is the light. Make sure you're not deceiving yourselves. James 1:22, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Take heed that the light in you is not darkness, and you're deluding yourself, believing that you're on track and God doesn't care. Wrong. Very wrong. And I believe we don't want to be right in our sin. I believe we want to be corrected. I believe if you're a child of God, you don't want to stay in the pig pen. Can I get an amen? So I encourage you. You're in a time when Christ is coming back, and you must ask that question, I got to get back. I read a story and heard a preacher say this. Some people just have a social gospel, which is good to an extent. They feed the homeless. They bring housing. They have missionary journeys that bring to villages water and food and what have you, and that's all good. But he said this, and it makes so much sense. He said, if the prodigal would have got a bowl of soup and a warm bed, he would have never came back. And sometimes we can make the mistake of making it too comfortable so that they don't come back to the Father. They don't come back to Jesus. We just want to feed them. Let me take care of the symptom. Oh, okay, I believe in mercy, trust me. And I need grace, hallelujah, 100%. But you got to have discernment. Pray for discernment that God will show you how to get tough love and when to be soft love. Many times the pain in people's lives allows them to come back to the Father. But if you're always there helping them, always there trying to make it good for them, giving them a hot bed and a warm soup bowl, they'll never get hungry enough or painful enough to say, I need something other than what I have. I need Jesus. Take heed. Isaiah says the same thing in chapter 8, verse 20. He says, you know what? He says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because the light is not in them. If you're not hearing this or receiving it, as I have to receive it, then the light is not in you. You may say, well, you mean I'm not saved? I don't want to give you false confidence. If you're living like the devil, you may not be saved. You say, well, what degree of sin do I have to be living in order not to believe that I'm walking with the Lord? 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So you have to measure that in your own heart and mind with the Lord Jesus. Are you practicing sin? Well, how much is practicing, Pastor? Is it 10 times? Is it 20 times? I can't give you a number. But if you're asking for a number, something's wrong. You need to ask yourself, why am I trying to get away with as much as I can? Because it's sin. Christ died for it. It's ugly. It's going to destroy me. And maybe you've lost your sensitivity to the ugliness, and you received more of the devil and his works than of God and his works. Be not deceived, church. Let no one deceive you. Give you a bowl of soup. Hey, it's going to be okay. If you're living in sin, practicing it, you decide. Don't delude yourself. Don't be a hearer of the word and not a doer who deceives himself. Can I get an amen? You know, we've been around the block a few times. And I don't have to bring this up, but I'm going to touch on it.
Coronavirus.
Have you ever seen such a panic in your life? I mean, read the statistics. 95% of the people who get it don't even know they have it, and they're living. Of the 16 that died, 11 of them died in one convalescent home because of their age, and that was in Seattle, Washington. You can count on your fingers how many perished, and I'm not glorifying that and saying that means you should never take caution. Not at all. But the Bible tells me God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. The Bible also says, perfect love casts out fear, for fear involves punishment. I belong to Christ, and you do. And I'm going to shake your hand and give you it if I have it. So if you're afraid of me, be afraid and say, no thanks, Pastor. That's fine. I'm not insulted. I fear for you, though. You might as well quarantine yourself from now on in and just go in your house, lock the doors until you get a better word. God has not given you the spirit of fear. Well, brother, Pastor, it's not wisdom. Yeah, okay. You know how many people die from influenza? Thousands from the flu. Thousands. But you don't hear about it. How many of you had the flu? Not too many, huh? How many had the flu? Raise your hand, right? Okay. If you've never had it, good for you. But I've had it. Painful, aches, pains, weakness, nausea maybe. I didn't die. More people die from it. Why? Because most of the times it's babies who don't have the immune system, or it's the older folk whose medical body has been compromised and their lungs are weak and you die from respiratory filling up, pneumonia, what have you. And I'm saying that just to give you faith. Learn the statistics, not the fear of what's going on. In fact, it tells us that China now has a less fatality than Italy does. There are now less people who have this virus than when it's coming down. My prayer is that it goes away quick and out of here. But don't be panicked. God has given you the spirit, not of fear, but of love, power, and sound mind. And perfect love, according to 1 John, cast out fear, for fear involves punishment. Yeah, wash your hands, absolutely. But I want to give this a spiritual connection. The virus of sin. You got to wash your spirit. You got to wash your hands. If you're around the dirt, if you're getting infected by it and you sense it and you don't want to be a part of it, you got to wash your hands. How do you do that? Well, James 4:7 tells me, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, he'll flee from you, draw near to God, look at these steps, and he will draw near to you, faith. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't be shaking hands with the world, spiritually speaking. You can't be compromising holiness for a half-heartedness. You can't be saying, Lord, I'm okay. Would you do that with a natural virus? If you know someone is in quarantine, would you go in there and give them a big hug? I don't think so. Would you go in there and shake their hand and say, hey, it's not going to affect me? I don't think so. So why would you do it spiritually and be friendships with the world? Why would you shake hands with the world? Jesus said, you adulterous. Don't you know that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God? Hello? Well, God is not that mean. Listen, God is not mean. He's a father, and he loves you. But any loving father will discipline his child if his child is heading on a road of destruction. So don't try to get around that and just think that you're beyond God's discipline, because if you're his child, he loves you. And every child that he loves, he disciplines. So if you're being friends with the world and the ways of the world, you got to shake it off and cleanse your hands. Wash it. How do you wash it? By confessing it. Asking Christ for forgiveness. Confess your sins. Wash yourself. Let Jesus wash your hands and feet as he did Peter. No, Lord, you ain't going to wash my feet. If I can't wash your feet, Pete, I have nothing to do with you. If you don't confess and you don't say, Lord, I know I need confession, I know I have sin, God's going to tell you, I have nothing to do with you. You say, well, you mean I lose my salvation? That's between you and him. I don't want to go into that and give you peace. You know, as they say, you know, the job of a preacher is to afflict the comforted and bring comfort to the afflicted. So I don't know if you're needing comfort right now or you need to be afflicted because you're too comfortable. But God knows your heart, and I can tell you what the Word of God says. So my encouragement is what the Lord has shown me while I was away in these last couple of days is prepare. It's not too late. Prepare to walk holy before God. Cleanse your hands. Stop shaking hands with the world and trying to get the world to be your friend. You separate. That's what the Word of God tells us. He tells me this too in Isaiah 26:3. God will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him because you trust in him. He will give you the peace because your mind, remember the beginning? Gird up your minds for action. Gird up your loins so you don't get tripped up and entangled in sin. Fix your eyes on Jesus and the grace. Set your mind, Colossians 3:2, set your mind on the things above and not the things below. Where's my mind? Is where your heart is. What have you been thinking about? Is where your heart is. So we need to examine ourselves in order to prepare ourselves, because the Lord is telling you and me, I am coming, brothers and sisters, to judge this world. You know, this coronavirus, it brought a lot of fear in people. But once it's gone, maybe some people now are repenting of sin. Oh, maybe I'm going to die. And they repent. You know, they did the same thing with 9/11. When I was pastoring a church on Ridge Boulevard, when 9/11 came in the year 2001, people flocked to the church. They were afraid. What's going on? Judgment's coming. A couple of weeks later, they flew from the church. No longer there. It was an emotional commitment. Your will, say with me, will. Will is your choice, not your feelings. Not out of fear, but you choose because he's holy, because he's God, because he loves you, because he's got the best for you, and the devil is out to get you. And there is no neutral ground. He'll get you easy or he'll get you hard, but he's out to get you, as he is me. So put your mind, gird your mind, prepare your mind, keep your mind on the things above and not the things below. We're coming to an end. Hebrews 11:7, turn with me there. The story of Noah. By faith, not his feelings, Noah, having been warned by God of the things not yet seen, moved with fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of righteousness, which is according through faith. By faith, he built an ark. There was never no rain. The scriptures implies that he built this ark for 120 years. It was a great exhibition for the Sunday drivers. hey, honey, where are we going? Well, let's take a look and see what old Noah's doing. Let's drive by. And they would laugh. They would mock. I'm sure of it. But he persevered. And he built and built because God warned him. And he took it serious. And he did it by faith, not by his feelings. And he did it for a long time. Following Christ is not the short run, church. It's not the sprinter. It's the marathon race. Keep your eyes on the prize and keep going forward. This is not the time to back off. This is not the time to compromise. This is the time to get right and to get ready. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus is coming. Yes, he is. What about this Noah guy? Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. Jesus himself said this. And then verse 44, but he starts off in 37. But as for the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as the days before the flood, before the judgment came, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving into marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not know until it was too late, until the flood came and took them all away. So also will be the coming of the Son of Man. There'll be no time to change your mind. Verse 44. Therefore you also be ready, for the hour you think not, the Son of Man comes. They thought this Noah guy was nuts. They never seen rain. Noah, a boat? Where's the river? There's no river here. There's no ocean. Are you mad? You follow Christ. You hear the word that the Lord is speaking to you today. It's by faith that you believe what is being said today and start building your ark for your family. Start building your ark for yourself. Get into Jesus Christ because he is the ark. Because once that door shuts, it's too late. You have time now. Don't wait, because he warns us in saying it's going to be like an everyday occurrence. People be eating, drinking, marrying, giving to marriage. It's going to be like, hey, the stock market's doing good. I got a good home. I got a house. I got children. They're growing up. I'm going to retire. Or, hey, I'm young. I got years ahead of me yet. I don't need to take this word serious. It's when you think like that, beware. Because when he comes and you're not ready, you're staying. The plagues that are going to come in Revelation, it says they're going to have boils. It tells us that in Luke 21, verse 25, 26, there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and on the earth, dismay among the nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting from fear. And the expectation of the things which are coming upon the world. Is there a little fear now, maybe? That's just a harbinger. That's just a shadow. That's a taste. That's a warning from the Lord. Get ready. Because when that happens, there's not going to be a coronavirus. There's going to be boils for all who take the mark all over the world. It tells us that there's not going to be a hailstorm like a pound. They're going to be 100 pounds each hailstorm that comes. 100 pounds. It's probably going to be an asteroid or something that the Lord is saying here. It's going to explode and come down. It tells us also that the kingdom of darkness, where Antichrist is going to be dark. These are kind of like similar to the plagues of Egypt, where there was darkness and light, where there was hail that destroyed the truck, where the rivers became like blood, so it was with the Nile, with Moses. It's similar. It's parallel. Many times it's been said the natural is parallel to the spiritual. God is giving us a taste to get ready. And if you're fearful a little bit, that's okay. But make it your choice to prepare. Rather than just be in emotional fear and do it out of fear, do it because you know it's true and you want to be right. He comes at a time you don't know. And here's where we close. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He says, "The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you. He's not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. The day of the Lord is going to come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat. The earth and its works will be burned up. Since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of person, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" World is passing away. Why? You're looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, you and I are looking for a new heaven and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, holiness. You remember we started off, Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go prepare a place for you, I'll come again." He's got a place prepared. This world is gone. It's going to end. That scripture that I read for you, 2 Peter 3:9, that happens after the millennial. This is when the eternal state comes in. And Revelation 21, verse 1 through 4, and we end with this, gives us that eternal state. After the great white throne judgment, those whose names were not in the book of life, they were judged according to deeds, and they were thrown into the lake of fire, hell, forever, forever, forever. And it says, hell was not made for man, but for demons, for the devil and his angels. So God is not looking to say, "Hey, I got hell all prepared for you." It wasn't prepared for you in the get-go. It's prepared for the devil. It's because he loves you. Heaven is prepared for you and for me, and that's where I want to go. We're all getting older. Hello? Yeah. "I've gone to prepare a place, and I will come again." He's knocking. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth," Revelation 21. "For the first heaven and the first earth has passed away, and the sea is no longer. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband," that's the church. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with the men, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all the tears from your eyes. And there will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more sickness, no more pain." Why? "For the first things that we have here on this earth will pass away." He's going to make all new. He's going to erase your memory of pain, sorrow. He's going to give you a brand new body that doesn't get corrupted with germs and it's immortality. Brothers and sisters, this was God. God loves us. The devil hates you. And if he could deceive you into thinking, "Well, I can have heaven and not live a righteous life," you're done. Don't delude yourself. Holiness is happiness. Sin is slavery. Carnality is not going to get you anywhere. It's going to get you into a position where your life is going to be compounded and complexed with more pain and more sorrow. Sure, you might get an instant fix. The pain will go away instantly for whatever it is. "Well, I'm not happy in my marriage," so you commit fornication, you adulterate with someone. Sure, it's exciting. Forbidden fruit is always exciting, and bread stolen is sweet, sure. But hey, there's a big price to pay, and you'll pay big. Or drugs, "Hey, I can't handle this pain anymore, give me something," or "give me some liquor," or whatever it may be, or and maybe something simple. "You know what, I'm nervous, I'm going to go back to smoking, give me a cigarette." You compound your life, because now you're going to get COPD. Now you're going to get lung cancer. So don't take the easy route. Obedience comes through what? Suffering. Suffering validates your faith. And if you got an abundance, Be content with Jesus, not with your goods. Put him first. You learn the secret. You learn through obedience, which is your choice. But as for the cowardly, Revelation, same chapter, and unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the immoral persons, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars. See a lot of that today. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. He's going to eradicate everything. Heaven, as you see it, the heavens, that is, the stars and the earth, is going to be burned away. Interesting that the people who don't believe in Christ are going to be burned too. Fire is God's holiness. It's God's judgment. As the worship team comes up, I implore everyone in this church, if God has given you just an inkling of conviction, don't sweep it under a rug. If there's something that you know and you think, well, God accepts it, you're wrong. He is very clear about saying, if there's something in you, cleanse yourself through asking for forgiveness and start practicing righteousness and not the works of evil, which comes from the devil. So as this song goes on and we're going to sing it together, I want to first ask anyone and everyone with their head bowed, if Christ would take you today, you would die in your sleep. Many people go to bed thinking they're going to wake up, and they wake up in the presence of God, and they never accepted him, and now they go to hell. God has given you an opportunity right now because he loves you. Don't disdain the things of God. If that's you, and you need him as your Savior, and you need forgiveness, and you want to go and meet him in heaven and not go to hell, and you're sorry for your sins, he's not saying you're perfect, but you admit it and ask for his grace, I want you to say, that's me, and raise your hand. Just hold it up. Amen. God bless you, sister. Just hold it up. I want you to pray this prayer with me. You're bold. I like that. Pray this prayer with me and pray it out loud. Father, I believe in Jesus. That he died for my sins. I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven because I'm imperfect. But you paid for me in full. And you said if I ask, I'll receive forgiveness. So forgive me of my sin and write my name in the book of life.